Andy Warhol was an American pop icon whose life was a whirl of art, celebrities, and the fast lane in New York City. Born in 1928, he passed away on February 22, 1987, at the age of 58. In the late 60s, he managed and produced the Velvet Underground Band. Founded Interview Magazine and the Andy Warhol Museum is located in Pittsburgh, an easy drive from Cincinnati. With me on the phone tonight is Natasha Fraser Cavazzoni, who was the last person hired to work at Warhol's studio before he died. Welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Hello, Lee.
You grew up in England surrounded by celebrities, including the Kennedys and Mick Jagger, so it's not surprising you met Andy Warhol. When did you meet him and where?
I met him when I was 16 years old, and my portrait was in English Vogue, and my mother was the best-selling writer, Antonia Fraser, a best-selling writer made famous by America when she published Mary, King of Scots in 1968. At that time, 1980, she was living with Harold Pinter, the great man of the theatre, if you want, in England. I met Andy through Marguerite Lipman, who was a Southern hostess famous for her accent and for coaching Elizabeth Taylor, Paul Newman, and many others in Hollywood when preparing for Tennessee Williams films.
And when did you move to New York and why?
I moved to New York from Hollywood. It was Fred Hughes' idea. Fred Hughes was the business manager of Andy Warhol. It was 1987. Andy had a MTV program, which was 15 Minutes of Fame. And the idea, I was going to be one of the interviewers. They wanted a British accent. And if you can believe this, I had lunch with Fred Hughes, Andy's business manager, on Thursday. Andy came in afterwards, looked very pink-faced and stressed. I did not know that the next day he was checking into the hospital under the name of Bob Roberts.
And so that was the job you were hired for right before he passed away?
Absolutely. I was hired. If you can believe this, I was hired for the cameras, Lee. But instead of, you know, being prepared for the cameras, my first job was on a desk, and I was fielding calls to Fred Hughes, you know, who was telling everyone about the circumstances of poor Andy's death. And the first person to call, I remember it like now, I remember it was Diane von Furstenberg, the designer, and famous for having had portraits done by Warhol.
Well, your book opens with details of his memorial service at St. Patrick's, April 1st, 1987. Sounds like a star-studded, eclectic mix of friends. Take us back to that moment in time.
I was thrilled. You know, it was amazing. I stood back, and there I saw Calvin Klein and his wife, Kelly, arrive. I saw Yoko Ono. And there was huge excitement when Raquel Welch arrived, who had very short hair at the time, was wearing a fur coat. I mean, the crowd went crazy, and the crowd also went crazy for Liza Minnelli, who arrived with Halston, the designer. And who else was there? All the artists, like Roy Lichtenstein, David Hockney, Keith Haring, Debbie Harry. It was an amazing, amazing event, and very moving.
And didn't I read that you have an autograph collection?
Oh, my God. Andy's first autograph was Shirley Temple, and mine was the brother of Kojak. I mean, never has a B actor been more thrilled to be recognized on the Fulham Road outside a boutique called Night Owls.
And you've added to that over the years, I'm sure.
Well, when my mother went off with Harold Pinter, I'm happy to say that it improved to include Edward Fox, the film actor, both film and stage actor, Steve McQueen, who was a friend of Harold Pinter, my stepfather, and Jack Nicholson, who was to be in one of Harold Pinter's films, The Last Tycoon.
After his death, his estate went to Sotheby's for an auction. A 10-day sale in 1988 brought in $25 million. I imagine it was a mob scene.
It was extraordinary. I couldn't believe, I think people were so shocked by what an incredible collector Andy was. I mean, he just had the best Art Deco furniture. He had fabulous watches, wonderful jewelry. And but Andy was one of those people who would go to Studio 54 with a Brooks Brothers shirt on, and underneath would be a giant emerald necklace. He wore it, but secretly.
Do you have any of his memorabilia in your collection?
Not rich enough.
Ah, so did you buy anything at the auction?
Alas, I didn't, but I have friends who bought the famous cookie jars, which went for a fortune. I know other people who went for his silver collection. It was A to Z, the most, you know, Navajo rugs, crockery. You know, he had this incredible eye and just amazing enthusiasm. I mean, remember, he bought something every single day, Lee.
There's a museum in Pittsburgh. Have you been there?
I haven't, and I look forward to going.
His artwork now commands astronomical prices in today's market. I like the way you ended your book with a question, what would have happened if he had lived longer? What's your opinion?
I think he would still be there, keeping the lights on. It's one of my favorite quotes of Warhol, which I have never seen in print before. Andy was motivated by work. And in spite of what's been written about him, I have to say my experience of Andy Warhol was that he was a very generous guy who employed all these kids, both hapless and ambitious, either at Interview Magazine or Warhol Studio. Just to give an idea of prices, when Andy died, his Triple Elvis went for around $400,000, and now it can reach as much as $90 million.
Thanks for speaking with us this evening, Natasha.
Lee, a huge pleasure. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Natasha Fraser Capizzoni, author of the book After Andy, Adventures in Warhol Land. You'll find a link at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Lee Hay.
Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was Jim Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that patch. I said, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doot, 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 doot. Do